Chapter 4, Thoughts on Interpreting Scripture. If we are going to be looking into God's Word for answers in this study, it seems we ought to establish from the outset some basic principles on how to interpret what we read. So here are a few of the principles I intend to follow, to the best of my ability. 1. To accept as the correct interpretation the one that is the most literal when taken in the context of all the other New Testament verses that pertain to it. 2. To begin with the very words of Jesus as the foundation for our study. We will move next to the remainder of the New Testament, which, if interpreted correctly, will build upon, but never contradict, the words of Jesus Christ. 3. To recognize the differences in dispensation between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that Jesus clearly overruled some of the commands in the Old Testament by some of the commands he gave us in the New Testament. 4. To recognize that obedience to Christ is a necessary part of a saving relationship with Him. If we do not abide in Christ in an obedient, loving, believing relationship with Him, the Father will cut us off from the vine and we will lose our salvation. 5. To recognize that Christ's Sermon on the Mount is meant to be lived out by us in this day and age, and is not to be set aside for some future time. In my own religious background, we have always believed in these basic principles. We were taught that following the Sermon on the Mount was an integral part of following Jesus. We were taught that obedience was necessary, not optional, if we were to call ourselves Christians. And we were faithfully warned about the danger of falling away even after having begun the Christian life. Those of us who were taught these things all our lives in some respects have an advantage as we begin this study. For us, the foundation has already been laid for accepting this doctrine as true. We already believe in Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. We already believe that obeying Him is necessary. And we already believe that the Sermon on the Mount is meant for us to put into practice today. If, however, you are a Christian who does not believe in any or all of the aforementioned principles, may I challenge you to examine your beliefs in light of the following scriptures. First, what is the role of obedience to Christ in our salvation? Is obedience to Him really necessary, or is salvation simply a matter of believing in Him without any real commitment to obey Him? Here are the verses. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. John 15:14. And hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. 1 John 2:3. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22:14. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. John 15:10. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Matthew 7:24. Second, what is the condition of those who do not obey Jesus? And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Luke 6:46. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. Every branch in me that bears not fruit he takes away. John 15:2. In flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. And every one that hears these sayings of mine, and does not do them, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Matthew 7:26. Third, if obedience is necessary, then which of Jesus' commands are we supposed to obey? This question at first may seem a little silly. Once we have determined that obedience to Christ is necessary, then it only makes sense to say that we are required to obey all His commands. Correct? Well, let's try this. One of the commands of Jesus was, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Are we supposed to obey that command? No, obviously not. Therefore, it must not be right to say that we have to obey all the commands of Christ. Does that mean, then, that we get to pick and choose which commands we want to obey? Again, the answer is no. So what is the right way to know which commands apply to us? The answer to this question lies in Jesus' words in the Great Commission, found in Matthew 28, which says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28:20. Jesus was talking to his disciples in these verses, and in these five words, "whatsoever I have commanded you," he gives the key to knowing which commands we are expected to keep. Namely, those commands that he gave to his disciples. If a particular command was given to his disciples in a teaching context, it was meant for us as well. If, on the other hand, the command was given to some other individual, we are generally not required to obey it. This is the basis for believing that the Sermon on the Mount is for us to put into practice today. At the beginning of Matthew 5, although a multitude was present, it is clearly stated that Jesus was speaking to his disciples. This entire sermon, therefore, fits clearly within the "whatsoever I have commanded you" given in Matthew 28:20. To summarize, this study is built upon the belief that we are to obey the commands Christ gave to his disciples, including the Sermon on the Mount, if we want to call ourselves his people.